finishing that. And that is, where did you get, where is your?
East Carolina.
Yeah, East Carolina. I thought you were finishing that up. So she's a pirate head. So anyway, and then Jennifer Moore. Did Jennifer make it? Yeah, I knew she was not going to be able to make it either. And she also finished her master's. And so, again, we'll get her up and embarrass her later. So, but we've just had the privilege of just some great young people and some great older young people to see. How was that? Is that good?
That's right.
Yeah. So just being able to see people follow through on the things that God has for them. And so I know as parents, you guys have been there through all of that with them and as family members and all of that. And I know you're relieved in some, and some it's just beginning to really get tough. So thank you for sharing your family with us. And so we just want to pray over you guys and ask God to bless you as you go forward. So let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for your provisions. God, you have provided so much in the lives of our young people and those who have pursued the dream that you put in their heart. Of further education. And so, God, I just ask now that you would bless each one of them. For those who will be moving on and moving out of the house and into new surroundings and new opportunities, God, that you would go before them, that you would prepare them now, that you would put friends in their path as they go that would just encourage them and that would allow them to continue to seek you and everything in their lives. God, I pray that you would bless them as they take advantage of opportunities that you give them to just follow you and to always be where you want them to be. And so, God, I pray that you would bless each one as they use the education that you've given them. God, that you would just allow it not to just be used for worldly things, but, God, that you would give them opportunities to do spiritual things for you through secular degrees and put them in places where they'll meet people that many of us never would, and that you'd be able to share, or they'd be able to share the gospel with them as you just bless them in it. And so, God, we just pray for continued provision. We pray for peace and comfort for family as they send them off. God, we pray for blessings of jobs that are needed and things just to be able to continue on in the life that you've planned for them. So, God, we just pray right now that you'd bless them and bless them in a mighty way. And we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. The video ended. Man, did you see all those people out there? What am I going to do? I'm already sweating. Imagine that. Gosh, I'm just nervous. What am I going to do? They're expecting me to say these things that are going to change their life. What am I going to do? I can't go out there and face all those people. They're looking for things, answers, and what if I don't have the answers that they need? What if I can't give them what they need to hear right now? What am I going to do? What if I say something dumb? What if I tell a joke and they don't laugh at it? Oh, that's right, they don't laugh at my jokes anyway. What if I go out there and I trip on a cord, or what if I go out there and embarrass myself? You know what? I got to do it. This is what I'm supposed to do. All right, here we go. Fly up. Yep, okay, good. All right. Hey, good morning. Hey, we're so glad that you're here this morning. We're beginning a brand new series, called Unstoppable. And we're going to start off with today is talking about unstoppable courage. Because listen, we've all got fears. Well, we've all got things that we're afraid of, don't we? I mean, if we were to go around the room, I know that you guys would just have a list of things that you fear every single day. Opportunities that you want to come, but you're so afraid that they will, that you totally avoid putting yourself in the position that they would ever come to pass. I mean, listen, I'm just being honest. Fear is something that I deal with a lot, just in the fact of every Sunday morning, I got to come out here and talk in front of a bunch of people. And really, you're looking for answers from whatever I'm going to say that's going to help you wherever you are, right? Because that's what happens. Guess what? How many times have you heard somebody say, you know, I went to that church, but I just wasn't being fed? Because what oftentimes is expected of the pastor is for him to walk out here with a big bowl of something and cram it down your mouth so that you're full and you're fed and you feel good about whatever he had for you, and then you walk out of here, right? See, fear is a thing that pastors deal with all the time. We deal with, you know, are we going to say the right thing? Are we going to put ourselves in the right place to be able to help the right person? You know, there's so many times, so many people with things going on in their lives that it's hard to always be at the right place at the right time, and it's overwhelming at times, and you become fearful that people will begin to reject you because you just couldn't do what they wanted you to do, and they were looking for you to do something, quite honestly, that you just weren't even capable of doing. Fear is something that we all deal with. Fear is something that we find ourselves always having to deal with in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. It's something that really is quite overwhelming at times. And when we talk about unstoppable, the reason we begin with fear is we're going to talk about in this series things that stop us, things that get in the way of us being all that we want it to be. If I allowed the fear that I have on Sunday morning to stop me, I would never make it out on stage the very first time, much less to make it back out here to speak as far as a message goes. I mean, fear is one of those things that just will paralyze us. It'll lock us down, and we won't be able to get anything done. And we're going to go through some other things that we have in our lives that often get there, and they find a place and a way to keep us from just being all that God created us to be. So unstoppable. We want to create something that can't be stopped. We want to create a life that nothing can stop, that God can use any way that he wants to use. Anybody ever seen the movie Unstoppable? Yeah, a few. It's about a train, a runaway train that nobody's on. The brakes, you know, are wide open. The throttle's open. And, man, this train is just barreling down the tracks. And no matter what they try to do and put it in its way, it just keeps going. What if you and I were not in a destructive way like that train, but that we were in a constructive way? That we became something that couldn't be stopped because we were putting ourselves in a place to be what God wanted us to be, to do the things that he asked us to do. If you have your Bibles today, you can go ahead and be turning there to 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we're gonna look at a piece there that is really cool. If you have your YouVersion app, man, that's a great place to go because that way you can just track right along with us. Look for the event. If you go to YouVersion, it's going to say events, where it used to say live, but now it's called events. But you can go there and follow along with us, or just open up your program, or on the back there's some notes that you can take along with us. But the reality is that we want to be unstoppable, but yet we look at every reason to be stopped. We have an enemy who wants to stop us. Now, a lot of times in church, we shy away from talking about our enemy. We often will talk about everything else, but really the root of all of the things that come in our lives. We don't want to talk about the one who is at hand with that, and that enemy is Satan. I mean, the devil is real, y'all, and we often want to try to dress him up and make him cute and cuddly and all of that stuff, but the reality is that he is a spiritual enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That he comes and he roars around like a lion, as the Bible says, a lion looking for someone to devour. Now just picture that in your head of what a lion looks like. We've seen things in the news and different things about a lion and the gorilla lately and all of that. We know what ferocious things look like and what has to be done or not has to be done, and there's all kinds of debates about all of that. I don't want to open up all that stuff, but the reality is that there are, that lions are dangerous because they're wild animals. And they have a purpose. But the reality is that Satan is an enemy who wants to do everything he can to keep us from being all that we're supposed to be. And he has this incredible weapon that he uses. It's the lie that he uses to create fear and insecurity in all of us. To tell us that we're not good. That we're not valuable. That we're not worth anything. That we don't have anything to offer. And we have to be careful that we don't buy in to that lie. He wants us to be afraid. But here's a truth that I want us to understand today that'll help us kind of frame up this whole piece today as we look at it. Here's what it is. The path to your potential often is straight through your greatest fear. The path to your greatest potential is often straight through your greatest fear. What are those things that you fear? Think about them. Now, we often fear things that are bad. We fear losing someone we love and things. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the things that really just shut us down. That we're afraid if we took that one step, that things would fall apart and it'd be over. Some of us fear failure. We're afraid that if we try something, we won't succeed. That if we won't go after it, we'll be safe. Some of us fear conflict. Man, listen, sometimes you just got to mix it up. Sometimes you've got to go after it because conflict is where we actually allows us to interact and to get to the root of some of the problems that are between us. Conflict is something that we fear, though. We don't want anybody. What if I say something and they push back on me? I'll just avoid it. I fear rejection. I'll never be good enough. I'll never measure up. I'll never be good enough to be all that God wants me to be. Those are some thoughts that go through our heads and some things that we say to ourselves. I shared with you earlier, I have some big insecurities. You know, I kind of maybe come across as kind of a, you know, that I don't have them, that I'm kind of out there and I'm arrogant or whatever. I mean, but that's often just me joking around. And y'all know that. But the reality is I try to portray this I got it together thing because inside I don't have it together. You know, I'm afraid of what somebody's going to think of me. I'm afraid if I'll be accepted. I'm afraid if, you know, I'll be rejected. We all deal with those insecurities. They're there. We've been rejected by so many people sometimes that we feel like, you know, the next person is just going to do it too. And what does that do to us? It stops us, doesn't it? It stops us from doing the things that we know we're supposed to. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in a message, and man, I just was ready for that message, ready to preach it, ready to let it go, and had a great story to it, and I came out, and from the very first part of it, I messed it up. I told the story of Rebecca, and I called her Rachel throughout. Never even called it. Bad thing is none of y'all did either, but oh well, you know what I'm saying? That's just whatever. But some of you said you did after I brought it up. You know, somebody else brought it up to me. But somebody did. They came to me and they said, hey, what did you mean to say that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, did I really say that? You know, I didn't even know what they were talking about at first, and then it dawned on me I really had done that. And so for the whole story, you know, here I am, the man of God, the theologian of the house, and I totally just told the wrong Bible story, you know, messed it all up. And so you know what that did to me, though? That wrecked me for like, it's still, you can kind of tell I'm still a little sensitive about it, but it wrecked me for like a week because I'm like, that's what they think. I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh my gosh, they're gonna fire me because they think I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't even know my Bible well enough to do that. Listen, it was just a brain cramp. I would say another word, but I don't, I've got some visitors in the house, but you know what I'm saying. The reality is I just messed up. But it messed with me. And y'all didn't even know it. Most of you wouldn't even remember it. But the thing is we have insecurities and we have things that mess with us and we begin to fear moving forward in our lives and we get stopped. And for like 2 weeks, I couldn't do anything. The next week, I got up to preach, and I was so afraid I was going to say the wrong thing again. It was like, it was almost just me preaching, and not, I didn't let God in on that a whole lot because I didn't want to mess it up. And you see how Satan lies to us and tells us that with fear and failure and all of that stuff, how he can even get in the pulpit of a church. It's pretty scary, isn't it? So oftentimes we think we've got it all together, but the truth is that we've got to be careful of it. And here's what God reminded me. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear." He's not given us a spirit of fear. So see, that fear that I had, it didn't come from him. It came from the enemy. The fear that you have, it doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. And of what? Love. And of what? A sound mind. Now, I know that sound mind is that maybe for some of us in the house, that's not, that part didn't apply. But, you know, yeah, y'all be like, is he talking about me? But anyway, if you thought it, maybe so. But anyway, but we think about that. Power and love and a sound mind. Listen, we can rely on our mind when we know that we've allowed God to be the one who's in charge. There is power in that. There's love there. Those are the things that should come out of us. He's not giving us a spirit of fear. That's our enemy trying to mess with us. Telling us we'll never measure up, telling us we can't do it, that if you try, you'll fail. God's not giving us that. Come straight from the pit of hell. The path to your greatest potential is often through your greatest fear. I believe that God wants us to have unstoppable courage in our lives, not to have fear that just slams the brakes on his momentum in our lives, but that we move forward. 2 Samuel chapter 23 is about a guy named Benaiah, one of my favorite people of the Bible. One of the people that just stands out to me so much because he was a man's man. The Bible doesn't talk very much about him. You may have not even ever heard him. If you've even read through 2 Samuel, you may have read through it so fast you didn't even consider him an important person in the Scriptures. But listen, if he's mentioned, he's important. You just need to know it. And here's the thing that catches us about it. Some things we should know about Benaiah, because he is a character that really should help us with this being able to get through our fear and have courage. Here's some things about him, some facts. He was one of the top 5 soldiers in Israel. That means he was the elite of the elite. That he was the man. That you still Team 6? Nope. This is 1 of 5. This is one of the top guys in the Israeli army that they could count on. He was tough. He was a general in the Israeli army. That means he was a leader. That he was courageous enough to lead troops into battle. That he often would have like 24,000 troops under his control at different times because he was courageous and willing to lead them there. He was also the captain of King David's bodyguards. Listen, that is tough. To get there, you had to be the man. If you were going to lead King David, his bodyguards and those protecting him, man, you were tough and you knew everything about it. He was feared and revered, the best of the best. He was brave and courageous. He wasn't sitting around waiting on somebody to come after him. No, he was going after whoever. And so we see the story of Benaiah here. We catch just a glimpse of him, but it says so much about him in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20 and 21. Here's what it says. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel who performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. That's like he took on 2 of the best men from another king, and he whooped them, all right? He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Think about that. this big old Egyptian thought he was gonna, he like, you brought a club to a spear fight? And Benaiah said, give me that. Took it away from him and had his own spear, and he took care of business. Now that's a man, right? He took care of it. That's courageous. That's brave, and that's bold. Benaiah was not fearful. Not in the sense of being willing to do what needed to be done. He had unstoppable courage. And in verse 20, we catch a glimpse of something that really stands out about Benaiah. It says that he went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Now think about that. He didn't have on Air Jordans that had some really good grip. He had on some slippery little leather, you know, flip-flops. And he goes down into a slippery slope of a pit and goes in and kills a lion. Now the reality is he, how did he know that the lion was there? Because he had chased it in there. And he didn't just go and chase it in and say, oh, I got him now. You know, I'll wait for him to come back out. No. He went in and killed the lion. That's pretty courageous, isn't it? That's pretty unstoppable if a dude's going to go into a pit with a lion on a slippery, nasty, wet, cold day and kill it. Benaiah was tough. And it's easy to read just right past him. But see, here's the thing that you need to know. That's not such a tough thing, because I've been willing to do that too. In fact, I have done that. I've gone into a pit with a lion. Did you know that? Yeah, check this out. Yeah. Not so bold, is it? But anyway, so I can say I did it. I just don't have to show the picture next time. So anyway, but the reality is it takes a lot to be willing to do that. I was kind of scared in there with them little ones, to be honest. But the reality is that Benaiah was willing to go after the issue. He was willing to go after the threat. He wasn't willing to let his fear of being hurt, he wasn't willing to let any of those things, the things that could happen, stop him from being and doing what needed to be done. An unstoppable, a courageous warrior. So I don't know about you. I'm not big on cats. I like lions and stuff like that. But the reality is this wasn't some little, you know, cub like that. This was a lion that was dangerous, and he goes in and he takes it on. He's willing to do what needed to be done to make it happen. And here he goes after a lion. One of my favorite books is based on this account. It's by Mark Batterson, and it's called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, and it talks about this and being able to have courage. And it's one of the most influential books really in my life, helping me to step out through some fears and being able to do some things that I never thought I'd be able to do, because I could see where God wanted me to have that kind of courage. But what Mark Batterson says is that people with real faith don't wait for lions to come. They chase after the lions. That when we have real faith, we are willing to chase the lion, not wait for it to come and devour us. Our spiritual enemy, Satan, he roars around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Listen, if we've got real faith, we're not afraid of him coming, because we know that we have something that's capable of defending against that. That we don't have to run and be afraid that Satan may come and tempt us. We don't have to be afraid that he may come and bring rejection, that he will bring the lies and all of that, because the Bible shows us that we can be willing to go after it and have this unstoppable fear. Normal people rarely ever face their fears. Many times we just avoid it altogether. If there's something that's there that could cause us rejection, that could cause us failure, that we should be afraid of, what do we often do? We avoid it, don't we? We go the other direction. But what happens when that, whatever that is in between us and what God wants for us? The purpose that he's brought all of us here for. Nobody in this room is sitting here without a purpose that God has instilled in you. So that's why you're here. It's why you're breathing. It's why he created you. Every single one of us, just like the people we read about in the Bible, have a purpose. And sometimes there are fears that are, and there are things between us and there that we're going to have to go through and we're going to have to face in order for God to do what he needs to do in our lives and in the lives of other people. Normal people don't chase after those things, though. But guess what we're not called to be? We're not called to be normal. We're called to be set apart, to be different. Normal people live with regrets. Listen, if you're in here and you're over 30, I bet you have regrets. I bet you've got things that you wish that you had done differently. But the reality is if we're going to be set apart, we don't have to live with them anymore. We can move forward through that. We can go chase the lions rather than waiting for the lions to come find us. Here's what you need to ask yourself. When you come to your greatest fear, what lion do you need to go chase? What lion is it that you need to go chase? Maybe it's, if you're in school, maybe it's the class that you're afraid that you won't pass. Maybe it's the, you know, maybe it's the girl that you think will, you know, that she'll not say yes. Maybe it's the guy that you think he won't say yes. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's the job that you really know that you want, but you're afraid that you may go and they may not hire you. Listen, they might not hire you today, but because you face your fears, they might hire you down the road. You just never know what it is what is your lion that you need to chase? What are you going to push through your fear to get to where God wants you to be? Some of you have a ministry inside of you just waiting to get out. There's something that you know God wants to do in your life, some way that he wants to use you to minister to people. But you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid that people are going to tell you no. And so you're keeping that inside of you. There's this divine burden that you got, that you know God wants to do something in and through you, and you just won't say yes because you're afraid. It's boiling up within you, but you're just so fearful of being told no. Some of you got an idea for a business. We live in a county that could use businesses. And some of you have thoughts and ideas in your head that could help people, but you're so afraid that it won't work that you won't pursue it. Some of you need to face the fear that you've got something going on emotionally. And to be able to get through that, you're going to have to admit to it. And you're afraid to do that. Because you think people are going to look at you differently. Some of us in the room today may be struggling with an addiction. And you're so afraid that people aren't going to accept you if you admit to it. But you won't tell anybody. They just go on and stay where you are rather than face the fear of just going public saying, listen, I need help. Facing the fear of just saying, you know what, I got to go. I got to go somewhere to somebody who can help me get through this. What is your fear? What's the lion that you need to chase today to be where you need to be? Some of you got a book in you. A book that can help people. And you won't write it because you're afraid. Maybe God's calling you to volunteer here at the church. Man, listen, you know, you guys are probably, you're tired of hearing me talk about volunteering at the church. I get that. But if you're really tired of it, gosh, I didn't even have to finish my sentence, did I? If you're really tired of it, just do something about it. If you're afraid, maybe that's a fear that you've got to get through. Listen, I've seen those two-year-olds down there. I'm afraid of them too. But some of you need to go back there and teach them about Jesus so they'll understand, so they might be better three-year-olds. The reality is there's things that we need to do, and God's calling us to it, and we're just saying, you know what, I'm afraid. I'm afraid somebody's going to say no. I'm afraid somebody's going to look at me wrong. Somebody's going to think differently of me. Somebody's not going to like me. You know what, God loves you, and he's the one who's got it for you. So when are you going to get over yourself? And I'm talking to me too. Listen, when are we going to get over ourselves and say, you know what? I'm not given a spirit of fear, but I'm given a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind that should tell me that God's in charge. The path to your greatest potential is often through your greatest fear. When are we going to say that God is greater than the things that are in front of us? So here's the thing. If we're going to be courageous people, if we're going to be people who don't let things hold us back, if we're going to not be to be unstoppable, to have this unstoppable courage that we're talking about, what are some things that we need to have? Here's a couple of things. People with unstoppable courage, here's what they know that the bigger their God is, the smaller the lions become. The bigger their God is, the smaller their lions become. Here's why there are so many big stinking lions in our lives is because we've made our God really small. And we've dumbed him down to something that we just pull out of our pocket when we need him, rather than letting him be God of the universe and of our lives, and then look at our problems and say, you know what, that's not so big, because my God's so much bigger. Oftentimes when somebody finds themselves sitting in a chair in my office, not because they're in trouble, because it's not like the principal's office, y'all, but when they find themselves there telling me what's going on and pouring out their heart, the reality is they have made their problems often so big and their God so small that they can't get past it. And the truth is that the Bible tells us that we don't have to have a spirit of fear, because that's not what God's given us. Why hasn't he given us a spirit of fear? Because he's bigger than everything else. The Bible says that there was something really big between man and him, and it was sin. And that God knew that he was so much bigger than sin, and that sin shouldn't be as big in our lives as we make it out to be, that he said, you know what? I'm going to send my son to die on a cross to pay the price for it, to overcome sin and overcome death. And that's what he did. He sent Jesus here. He died on the cross. He paid the price for our sins, was buried in a tomb, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. I'm always amazed in church why that never gets us excited. I mean, I'm not just fishing for some emotion. But the reality is, when we think about the fact that God loved us enough to give his son for us, and that because he died on a cross and was buried and raised again, that when you and I trust that and believe that we are forgiven of our sins and we are set free for all eternity, why in the world don't that just knock us off? I mean, why don't we go nuts over that? Because that's what he did. And if we're going to have unstoppable courage, we need to understand that the bigger that our God is, the smaller our lions will become. We can take some big, ferocious lions and we can shrink them down to that one in that picture. The one that was like a little bitty kitty cat, you know? Fluffy and soft and all of that. Why can't we look at our God and realize that that's who he is? You know, one of the things that I've been struggling with is just, you know, how do we get going? We seem to have lost some momentum here at URA Community. And it's like, and we're things are good, and we're, you know, we got some positive things going on, but man, we just don't seem to be, we seem to be kind of grinding it out. And why do we see, you know, why don't we see people come more and come and ask Christ to forgive them of their sins? Why don't we see more salvations? Why don't we see more people coming and joining? Why don't we see more visitors? Why don't we see more people coming and praying together? And why don't we see more people in Bible study? And why don't we see those things? And I mean, I'm just telling you, I've been losing sleep over it, because I just know God's got something bigger. Because I see how big my God is, and I see how big we're making our problems, and we need to get over that. And I'm like, how in the world can we do that? And one of the things that I believe that we have got to focus in on is who he is. And how can we focus in on who he is if we don't know who he is? But you know what? We don't know who he is, and we let him be really little and our problems be really big, but we have a Bible study on Wednesday night, and we got six people. Six people. And this is the part where I'm going to get on you a little bit. Because we heard from so many people, wow, we just don't have anything, we don't have any depth, you know. Everything's kind of focused on Sunday, and we don't have, you know, people aren't growing. And okay, so we're going to give you opportunities. We had life groups going. We didn't see much happening with those. We started Wednesday, Sunday night service, and we didn't see many people come out. We moved it to Wednesday, and then we didn't see people come to that. And then we're like, but yet we don't have people coming, but we still have people who still have little gods and big problems because they don't know their God. And so, man, somebody's going to leave here today, and they're never coming back because they're going to say, man, that pastor, he's just mean, and was ugly, and I can't believe he talked to us that way. Listen, I promise I am not talking to you down. I am talking to you from a place where I want to see God do amazing things in your life. And it is exhausting. It is hard to watch the things happen over and over and over again in people's lives without the pursuit of the one who could fix it all. Listen, I don't have it perfect. I got stuff in my life. But listen, I'm doing everything I can to chase after him so that I can make him as big as possible, my problems as little as possible. And I'm telling you, you can't do that on your own. You just can't. When I look at this and I realize that I don't have to have a spirit of fear, but I can have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, man, that makes me want to have so much more of him. And to make him so much bigger. And what I want is for you to want the same thing. And some of you do, and some of you are just stuck, and you're trying to figure out how to balance everything. I get all of that. But the reality is when are we going to keep making our problem so big and our God so small and just come in and just play church? That's not just here. It's happening in every church in our county. It's happening in every church in our country. But this Bible that we read from, that we pull pieces out and we post on Facebook and make it try to feel good for the day, listen, that's the stuff that makes him really, we're able to see him for who he is, and we're able to live it out and be able to see him do great things in our lives to overcome those things. I should have made this a one-part series because probably you aren't coming back next week to hear the rest. But anyway... Lion chasers don't look at their problems. They look at their God. They don't look at the problem, how big it is. They look at how big their God is. Daniel was a great example of that. Listen, Daniel got thrown into a den with lions. He was supposed to be dinner. He was supposed to be done for, and that was it. But the reality is something amazing happened. In Daniel 6, verse 20, it says, when he, King Darius, came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God. See, King Darius didn't believe, but he called him the living God. He says, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Listen, do you think King Darius came there because he thought he was going to see a big pile of bones? I think King Darius came because he realized who God was. And he came there. And listen to what Daniel said. He said, O king, live forever. Verse 22, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. That's not a fairy tale. That's an actual account of what happened in Daniel's life. Now, do you not think that if he can shut the mouths of literal lions, that he can shut the mouths of the lions in the problems in our lives? That's the God that we serve and that we can call on. I love the fact that he talks about, has your God, he's talking to Daniel, and you need to understand that if you believe in God and you trust him, that's the same God. He's talking about your God when he's talking to Daniel here. How big is your God? How big is he? Do you believe that he can shut the mouth of the lion? Let me tell you about my God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful God. With him, all things are possible. God who spoke and hung the planets and the stars in the sky is the same one who loves us and cares about us. God spoke and created every living thing on earth and said it was good. You're good in your creation. You're bad in your sin. All of us are. But you're good and you were made good. And you need to know that. He spoke and created every living thing on earth. He parted the Red Sea. He dropped manna from the sky. Man, he sent water from a rock. How big is your God? Because that's the same God. If you believe in him, that's who he is. He did all of those things. He opens blind eyes. He heals deaf ears. He raises the dead. How big is your God? That's how big mine is. Who is so, God who is so good, done all those things and he still loves me. That's the guy that worries about whether his fly's up on Sunday morning or flies up or down, you know? He worries about me. He loves me. He cares about me. God saved me. When I was a snotty-nosed punk who thought he could do it all, you know what? He saved me. He loved me. He loves you too. He's the one who brings peace. He's the one who brings strength. He's the one who brings comfort. That's who God is. He's way bigger than your problems. They don't have that power. People with unstoppable courage, they know that their God is bigger than their problems. The second thing, really fast, because I know it's getting long. And y'all don't want to get yelled at anymore. The second thing is this. They understand that playing it safe is risky. People with unstoppable courage, man, they know that playing it safe is risky. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. If we want to please him and make him pleased with us and to see us the way that we want to be seen, listen, it says just have faith. What is faith? That's believing in something that's there because it's not necessarily that we know because it's proven and we see it. Because listen, if we can hold it in our hand, it's not faith. But it's knowing that the one who we believe in can make it happen. Who can take care of it. The goal of faith, listen, it's not the elimination of risk. It's not being able to look at it and say, you know what, I can do that. Because if you can do it, it takes zero faith, and that is not as far as God wants you to go. I believe that. There's no such thing as risk-free faith. One of the biggest goals or problems that we have in tragedies is we don't have any goals. We don't have any plan. We don't have anything out there that we look at and say, you know what, I can't do that, but I believe God can, and he wants me to, and so I'm putting it on the list. If we go around the room and I ask you what's your plans for 5 years from now, most of us would be it would pretty much look the same, wouldn't it? Because we're comfortable where we are and we can manage where we are. But is that faith? Is that believing that he's got something greater and bigger for us? If I say, you know what, in 5 years I want URA Community Church to look just like this, you know what? You should fire me. Because this isn't, you know, y'all are pretty and all that and look good today, you know, whatever. But the reality is he wants to see your faces and a whole lot more. Because he calls every single one of us to be a witness for him, to go tell people about him and bring them in so that they can accept him. And we should be able to fill our churches over and over and over again. Even all, I don't know, one on every corner in Stanley County. But listen, there's a lot of them that are empty. And they need to be full. Why aren't they full? Maybe it's because we don't have a vision for that. Maybe we don't have a big enough dream to see people truly in our community come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be different. We'd rather the police do it. I think the church can do it. That's just me. I think about when we, 2 years ago, when we came to the place of just having to become, you are a community church, and we know that where we were at that point as a church was getting ready to be thrown away, tossed out. 3 years worth of God's work through High Rock here and the years before that from East Albemarle Baptist was getting ready to be balled up and thrown away. And God said, what are you going to do? I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to keep going. I said, but God, you know, this and God, that and God, oh no, this and you know what, God? I had a list of reasons why you shouldn't do it. But you know what? When I got done with it, there was only one reason why I should. And that's because God said. And when he said so, that meant that the vision was supposed to happen. And so we sit here today because God said, go and do what I want you to do. And so all of you have come and you've said, you know what? I'm part of this. I trust Ron as my pastor, and I trust the leadership of URA Community. I trust that there's a purpose here. And so listen, if you trust that, then you got to know, please trust first off that he's in charge, all right, not me. But second, that if you believe that, then you're a part of it, and there are things that you've got to do so that we're complete. The vision just doesn't include me. It includes all of us. And so we can't just play it safe and say, you know what, I'll be there at church next Sunday. Listen, a lot can happen before next Sunday. You're going to encounter a lot of people that you can tell about the Son of God and what he did for them, and you could change next Sunday today. I can change next Sunday today by being willing to see it for something riskier than just playing it safe and saying, you know what, we'll be back next week. Some of us, the reality is some of us may not be here next week. Whatever reason. So what are we going to do this week? Are we going to play it safe or are we going to be risky? Here's the reality, that God's called us to have an unstoppable courage, to be courageous. Listen, students, graduates, you guys can't be fearful. You got to have a courage that's going to take you on beyond where you are. That's going to help you not just play it safe and do the basics, but be willing to be more because he's called you to be more. He's not called you to just be really quiet at school. He's called you to be an example of who Jesus is. Listen, when we go to work, adults, he's called us to be more than just another customer or just another worker or just another whatever. He's called us to be different, and that involves risk. So when are we going to own up to it? When are we going to believe him for who he says he is? I know a lot of people would listen to this and say, man, Ron, you can't preach to your church that way. You can't be accusatory. You can't. Listen, I'm not being that. I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to do what God's called us to do. He didn't put any of you here by accident, and so we're all here in it. So what are we going to do together? How are we going to reach this community? It won't be by having church on Sunday morning, I promise you. We have bought into this church thing way too much. The church isn't this building and this 1 hour on Sunday, which is now getting close to an hour and a half, but that's okay. It's about us getting serious about this big God that we serve and these little problems that he's got power over. And so today, I just want to challenge you. What is the lion that you need to chase? What is it that you need to go on beyond and be real, just willing to realize that your God is bigger than that lion? And are you willing to understand that he is in the middle of everything that he calls you to, and so because of that, you can trust him? Here's the next step for today. That I will not play it safe. I will not play it safe. And I will begin to chase the lions in my life knowing that God is bigger than them. Are you willing to take that chance with me? You're willing to risk a little bit this week and just say, you know what? I'm not playing it safe. I'm going to take a chance. For some of us, you know, we might have to take some ibuprofen before that. I don't know, because it's going to hurt a little bit. You know what I mean? Some of us are a little bit out of shape, taking some chances. But the reality is the payoff can be so great. Who or what do you need to go chase this week to know that God's bigger than it? Let's pray together. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, for your power and your love. Thank you for the spirit that you put in us that we can, that we should be able to depend on completely. God, today, I know this is like one of those messages that I want to go out and get in my car really fast and leave. Because, you know, God, but I believe what was said was what you wanted said. So here I am. I took a risk today, God, following you, knowing that your church needs to hear and be challenged to not just sit back and be just another church, but God, to be more of what you've called us to be, that you can use us to do great things in our community. God, today I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would bless the message that you brought, and that God, today, that you would just take us and you would change us, that you'd challenge us, that you'd make us willing to take a risk. God, I believe today that whether we're willing to take a risk or not hangs the lives of people we'll come in contact with in the balance of heaven or hell. And so, God, may we be willing to follow you. God, for some of us, that means that we're going to live out loud and we're going to be visible. And for some of us, the risk of just being willing to do whatever behind the scenes is going to be a big deal. But God, today, may you challenge us to do that. And may we be willing to follow. God, do what you need to do today. God, if someone's here and needs to accept you for the first time, may today be the day that they do it. Today, if someone's here and they just need to know that they're forgiven of their sins, God, may they confess them to you, because you say that you are faithful and just to that when we confess them, that you forgive them. God, may you just have freedom to move today, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.